source for federal news now. This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University Talking Technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
Another exciting week. Asteroids going near the Earth.
That was crazy. I heard it yesterday on the radio, and then I went to see the YouTube videos. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a meteor that hit Russia. Then we had the asteroid that almost hit the Earth.
The meteor was the size of a bus, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Good grief.
It was. That was, now the sort of people are beginning to think BlackBerry is not going to pull out of the hole, even though they've released the new operating system.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sort of give some prognosis there.
Okay.
There were some great observations by Chris Davey on how microprocessors and shipping containers have disrupted worldwide labor. I thought this was a very insightful article that appeared in Quartz. So we'll sort of give some of his insights there, because it has a lot to do with worldwide technology and labor supply and what our policy should be relative to immigration. And this was the week of the battery life fiasco for the iPhone 4S's.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a 4S. You have a 3, so you didn't.
No, I have a 4, but I think I have just the G.
Yeah, but the 4S, yeah, the 4 wasn't affected, only the 4S. So I talk about how, because I have a 4S, so I had to live through that,
mm-hmm.
Experience. We're going to talk about the man who is known as the father of human factors engineering in technology, in industry. He's also the guy that actually did the human factors engineering on the first touchtone telephone. You suggested him to me.
I did, because I was leaving here the other day, and I heard on the radio that he passed away last weekend.
That's right. And so this was John Carlin, and so that was a very good suggestion.
We'll
talk about John today. And we're also going to get into this meteor. We're going to get into the asteroid and how we're handling that. And, of course, yet again, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
Indeed. There's a letter in
Boom.
Your mailbox.
Yeah, we got an email from Margaret.
Do
we need better sound effects than that?
Yeah.
Here. Is that better?
That's much better, Doc.
saying boom doesn't work?
I'll work on something.
Okay.
I'll work on something.
Well, and I think we're going to have Mr. Big Voice carry in the mailbag for us. Don't you think he could do more than
he only has two lines every week.
He only has two lines.
He sits around for 59 minutes and 30 seconds.
He could at least carry in the mailbag.
Right, exactly.
I think that would be worthwhile. We got an email from Margaret in Bethesda. Dear Dr. Schertz, I have heard that e-filing your income taxes is not safe, and that your filing could easily be hijacked. Do you plan on e-filing your federal, state, and income tax forms this year and for the year 2012? If so, can you share what precautions you're taking that I ought to take? Most appreciated, Margaret, a loyal Bethesda listener.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, Margaret, e-filing is safe as long as you use a reputable tax preparer or tax preparation software. The key is to keep your private information private in order to avoid identity theft. And that is the real issue, identity mm-hmm. theft, because what happens now, because now we do have e-filing, fraudulent tax returns have been on the rise. And they're in either the form of tax identity theft, refund fraud, tax preparer fraud, and they're difficult to prosecute. And with e-filing, the evidence of fraud is difficult to find, and there are no signed forms, no envelopes, no fingerprints, and e-filing promises a quick refund. So it's easy for criminals to e-file using your real name and social security number, and they can actually create a fake W-2 form, and they can fabricate Schedule C business income schedules, and they can have the refunds posted anonymously to the Green Dot prepaid Visa or MasterCard, mm-hmm. which can be purchased at a drugstore. And these cards have routing and account number information suitable for direct deposit. So you can actually get a direct deposit without revealing your name.
Ooh,
and this is dangerous. What's happening. And so the real issue here is identity theft, because now e-filing, it's not the fact that e-filing itself is more dangerous. And in fact, if you e-file early and you filed your tax return, then somebody else can't hijack your tax return and steal your refund. So I don't think there's any danger there, but you just want to make certain. So this is what you want to do. There are... you want to keep your identity information secret. There are some unscrupulous tax preparation people that will use, tax information from previous years to file fraudulently, or they'll show you that you get a smaller refund than you think you do. Then they split the refund and they siphon off part of the refund to their account. There are all kinds of ways to do fraudulent returns. So just make certain if you have somebody else do an e-filing for you that you get somebody who's very reputable. And as always, protect yourself against identity theft.
May I have a sidebar? I heard something interesting on the radio yesterday. The people who have already filed their taxes mm-hmm. And have done the e-file route are flooding the IRS website with multiple requests a day to find out if they've been processed and when the refund is coming in. And the IRS is pleading with people to check in once a day so that they don't crash the server and overload the system.
Because they're delaying some of the refunds.
Exactly. And the other problem is they said, look, we update this thing once a day in the overnight. It's not going to update continuously during.
You know, I wonder whether the delayed refunds is caused by sequestration.
That's an interesting question.
You know, mm-hmm. I've never heard that linkage, but, you know, it is all cash flow.
Yeah, sure.
And so that isn't. You know why the IRS likes e-filing?
No.
Because if you send in a paper document, it takes them about 3 months longer to get it into the system.
Mm-hmm.
If you e-file, they have it there immediately. They start scanning all the returns to see who's going to be audited. It gives them an extra 3 months.
To build the case.
And also, there's a lot more data online for them through the e-filing. And so they have these intelligent filters that allow them to, you know, target audits easier. So they actually prefer this, and it makes their audit identification easier and quicker. So if you've got anything sneaky on your tax return,
you don't do e-file,
and you submit your return on the last day that you can, and you write kind of in a sloppy way, so they can't figure it out. That was a good question, Margaret. But actually, e-filing is quite good. Always make certain, of course, you use secure links. Don't do your e-filing at some public terminal at an airport or at FedEx. don't sit at Starbucks on open Wi-Fi and do it. Just do it prudently at home.
That brings up another sidebar. If you use a computer at FedEx Kinko's, when you shut it down, there's a prompt that comes up on the screen that says, "You sure you want to exit?" Because I'm sure they want to get a few more pennies out of you mm-hmm. while they're doing the shutdown. But it also says it's going to erase all of your information that you put into the computer.
That's great. If it really does it.
Do you think they really can?
Oh, they can do that. What I do, if I'm ever using a public computer, mm-hmm. what I do, I go into the browser and I delete everything, you know, passwords, username, because you can collect passwords and usernames in the browser mm-hmm. and save it. So I make certain I go to the browser, and you can actually set the browser to erase everything on exit. So I just make certain that nothing's stored in the browser. And I'm going to think that Kinko's is doing the same thing, because there are issues where that you want the machine to reset itself. So we actually have programs at Stratford, well, like in our library.
Mm-hmm.
When we turn off the machine and turn it back on again, it pulls a new disk image right off our central server.
Wow.
So that if a student comes in there and puts some kind of virus on that computer, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just gone. And so I don't know what they're doing at Kinko's, but if they're using best practices, I would think they ought to do something like that.
You would think that, and that's a great point, because they don't need those machines to be out of service. They need them to be crashed by a virus. They need that machine to be working, because otherwise it's not bringing in revenue, right?
Otherwise it's not bringing in revenue. And see, people can bring in a thumb drive that's got a malware on it, and I mean, and our students, like, I have walking malware thumb drives. I mean,
because they're all over the place.
Yeah, right? and so pretty much we just, you know, when you turn off the machines, they reboot, that's just a fresh disk image. And so there's nothing they can do to mess it up.
That's a great idea.
Which really helps us.
That's fabulous.
So we got an email from Mike. Mm-hmm. Hi, I've been listening to your show for a few years, most Saturday mornings. I stumbled on a great show the other week on PBS. I don't know if you've already mentioned this, but they talked about the history of Fairchild Semiconductor. It was fascinating. Primarily, I would say that the four main personalities involved and the split to Intel. If you haven't already done so, it's a great ready-made profiles in IT segment that you could cover several folks at once. Great show, Tech Talk, and I hope that you can use this idea. Thanks, Mike. Well, Mike, that is a great story in Fairchild, because a lot of the key players who actually formed Intel left Fairchild as a group, and they basically invented the microprocessor, the CPU, which actually became sort of the heart of Silicon Valley and the heart of the whole revolution of low-cost computers. That is an interesting story. Two of those four guys we've actually profiled in IT in the past, but I think given your suggestion, I'll go back and look at all the folks to make certain that we've actually gone through and hit all the folks that were in that transition, because that was quite an innovative group and a very important part of technology history.
This is a great idea, because you've done so many profiles in IT. I think we've talked about this in the past. It's a little tough to come up with new ideas here. So
it is. I mean, I've done about 180 so far. So it's.
So if anybody has any ideas, we'll tell you how to get them to us later on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because every Friday night around 2 a.m., I'm looking around for some good ideas. Mm-hmm. We got an email from Geek Chick.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Tech Talk, is there a legit site for unlocking my iPhone 5? I have Verizon as the carrier, and I canceled my plan about a week ago. Now I want to sell the phone, and many buyers are asking if it's unlocked. Is there any downside to unlocking that I need to be aware of? Do you know of legitimate sites for unlocking the iPhone? Enjoy listening weekly on Saturday mornings. Thanks, Geek Chick. Well, the good news is that your Verizon iPhone 5 is already unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Verizon sells the iPhone 5 unlocked. Now, it's unlocked. The GSM portion is unlocked. The CDMA portion is not. That's tied to your phone number. So the thing about Verizon is that it's got both modes in it, GSM as well as CDMA. And in fact, I've got an iPhone 4S, which was originally locked, and Verizon unlocked it for me. So yours GSM portion is already unlocked. So you could actually test it. If you've got a friend who's got a SIM card, a micro SIM, you could just pop that micro SIM into your iPhone 5 and see whether it boots right up and recognizes the SIM card. Then you'll know right away. But Verizon has said they're selling the iPhone 5 unlocked. And the reason they can do that is because the CDMA portion, which is their part, is actually, you're locked into them for CDMA, and so they're not too worried that you're going to run away from them, and so they're willing to unlock it immediately. Unlike AT&T, which won't unlock it until the contract is expired. Now, I'm surprised you could cancel your contract on an iPhone 5, because the retail value on the iPhone 5 is $600. And you pay $200, and they pick up the other $400 on your normal contract amount over 2 years. So there must have been a cancellation fee on that.
Do you know, are the iPhone 4s now available for $0.99 like the 3s were?
Yeah, the old version is always, because what it is, there the retail version, say for the old phone, might be $400.
Mm-hmm.
So since they're giving you a $400 subsidy, you're getting it for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the iPhone 5 is $600, so you're having to pay $200. So essentially the carriers are giving about a $400 subsidy on the phone. That's why they're having trouble penetrating, say, Asia, because it's a different market there. You basically pay retail price for your phone, and then you don't have a contract. So, you know, people just have trouble coming up with $600. Yeah, so that they're having trouble really penetrating the market.
I wonder how much it actually costs them to make an iPhone.
Probably $200.
Really?
It's a pretty they got a very high margin on this thing. they've got a high margin on this deal. So, but Apple's done a great job at producing that that software. Now, the way that the locking is done is that whenever you activate the phone, it says you're logging into an Apple server. And the Apple server actually has a database that says whether your carrier is going to allow you to put in a SIM card from a different carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And so the activation process is what enforces the lock or the unlock. So the only way to actually change that is to actually corrupt the activation software. And so there are software fixes that will go in and change that activation process so it looks like it's unlocked. But the problem is some of those don't work if you go through an upgrade. So it's much nicer just to have the carriers unlock it for you. But there are ways to do it. And some of the sites charge up to $140, and they say it's good through upgrades, and other ones are like $29. But I think in your case, you don't have to worry about it at all. So, mm-hmm. So you are lucky in that regard. We got an email from Matthew. Dear Tech Talk, I can't always listen live.
Well, we have solutions for that.
That's right. I use TuneIn to listen to podcasts, but Tech Talk's not available. I am sure that you could get many more listeners if you'd make the show available on TuneIn. Thanks, Matthew. Well, I've used TuneIn for live broadcasts. In fact, you can go to TuneIn, that's an application, and you can listen live over TuneIn to Tech Talk Radio by simply going to Federal News Radio, and they've got a live feed on TuneIn.
Right.
That works. I will check. I mean, really, I use TuneIn a lot, but it's only for live feeds. Now, actually, we do have podcasts available, Matthew. You can go to the Stratford website, and you can simply subscribe to it. You know, we've got the podcast feed right on the website. Go Tech Talk Radio, TechTalkOnline.com, and you can subscribe for the podcast right there on TechTalkOnline.com, or you can go to Apple iTunes and search for Stratford Tech Talk. Now, what I'm going to do, I did notice that TuneIn, even though it's primarily for live shows, they did have a section where they had some podcasts listed. So I'm going to go back to TuneIn and see whether they'll list the Stratford mm-hmm. podcast. I'm going to do a little more research on it. But every show is available on the web all the way back to 2000, Matthew. So you can listen to a lot of shows. And
you can have, as we've long been a proponent of, having a Tech Talk vacation.
Yeah, you could have a mm-hmm. Tech Talk vacation, which would really be, you know, really be great fun for you and your significant other driving across the country listening.
Significant others love that.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm, they do.
We got an email from Alex. Dear Tech Talk, is there a simple way to transfer pictures from my Android mobile phone to my PC? I use Windows XP. I have Bluetooth on the phone. I don't know how to get Bluetooth on the PC. Is there any other way? Thanks, Alex. Well, Alex, if you don't have a Bluetooth enabled PC, you really can't use the Bluetooth transfer. So there are a couple of ways that you have. Now, the approach that I actually use is Dropbox. It's an application. A Dropbox is and you can basically have a shared folder on your iPhone, on your phone, and a shared folder on your PC, and the two folders are synchronized through the cloud. So what you'd want to do is you'd install, and Dropbox is a free app, so you need to go to the application store, download the Dropbox app on your mobile phone, and then you want to go to Dropbox and download the application on your PC. You'll have to create an account, username and password, and then both of those will be synchronized. And when you install Dropbox on your phone, you'll be able to have a choice. Do you want to automatically have pictures go to the Dropbox shared folder? So as you take a picture, it's shared on Dropbox. So you'll automatically get, whenever you take a picture, it will automatically show up on your PC. That's the most convenient way to do it. So I use Dropbox a lot for documents. Since I have an iPhone, I also use the iCloud, which mm-hmm. actually synchronizes yeah. all pictures automatically through the cloud. Now, another approach is of course, just use a cable. So a USB cable came with your phone. So you could plug your you plug it into your phone, turn on your phone, plug in the USB cable, and your phone is going to show up as a secondary drive, as a removable drive. And then you can, and there's a folder on that on the drive in your phone called DCIM.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the DCIM folder, and that contains all your pictures. So you can just basically you can highlight, copy, and then paste all those pictures into a subdirectory in your PC, just like a normal transfer. So that would be the second way to do it. If you had Bluetooth, it is possible to transfer them with a Bluetooth connection, but it's actually slower. So I really use the cable connection. But that was a great question.
Yes. Very good. Doc, as we mentioned at the as we were talking about some of our letters, if you have ideas, questions, comments, concerns, you can get them to us, can you not?
That's right. You can get
and
them to us.
How would you do that?
You send us an email to techtalk@stratford.edu. And, of course, you can always check us out on Facebook. And I'm monitoring the Facebook page. You just go to facebook.com/techtalkonline. And we're looking for your comments during the show.
And no hanky-panky, because, again, the key word is the doc is monitoring the Facebook page.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're listening to Tech Talk. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, and 1035 FM HD2. We'll be right back after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Application and software developers shape our world. Those who design and build these systems are the leaders we follow. The School of Computer Information Systems at Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers programs with a real-world, hands-on education. In fact, many of today's Stratford IT grads are working in their chosen field. Make it work for you. Stratford University. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. A rewarding future as a holistic caregiver or nurse practitioner. Combining the art of caring with the human science makes nursing today's breakout field. Stratford University's School of Nursing at the Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers a patient-centered approach with valuable core clinical training. Stratford provides a real-world education in nursing. In fact, many of today's Stratford nursing grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to talk about John Elias Carlin. John Elias Carlin was the industrial psychologist who is widely recognized to be the father of human factors engineering in American industry. He led the way to the design of the touch-tone phone and the use of seven digits in the numbers,
mm-hmm.
in your phone numbers. John Carlin was born in Johannesburg, South Africa, February 28, 1918. He earned a bachelor's degree in philosophy and psychology and music. Wow. A bachelor's degree in philosophy, psychology, and music. That's a triple major. He must have taken a boatload of classes.
Mm-hmm.
He got a master's degree in psychology, all from the University of Cape Town. Throughout his studies, he was a violinist at the Cape Town Symphony Orchestra and the Cape Town String Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
He earned a PhD in mathematical psychology from the University of Chicago in 1942. After he graduated with his PhD, he was hired as a research associate at Harvard to do research on problems with military psychoacoustics. One of his projects was to determine whether aircraft noise and engine noise affected the ability of personnel on a bomber to do their job. So he was testing effectiveness as it relates to noise and the type of noise. In 1945, he joined Bell Labs as the first research psychologist on the staff. I mean, they'd always been engineers up to that point. So he just really took a chance to go there. Carlin spent his early years working on problems with telephone acoustics because I guess the idea was, how can you make it sound better so people will like it? Sure. You want to put filters in it. So it was all about sound. But he persuaded Bell Labs to let him create the Human Factors Engineering Group to study larger issues relating to human factors design. Because he thought there's more than just sound with the telephone. Like, an early experiment involved the telephone cord. See, the hallmark of an industrial psychologist is that they basically observe users using the thing, and they figure out what the user wants to do, mm-hmm. and then they base their results on sort of user behavior. So when he was working on the length of the telephone cord, Carlin's staff secretly shortened the phone cords of the colleagues in their office by 1 inch every 3 days. So every 3 days, they'd sneak in the office at night, and they would cut an inch off the cord, put the phone back together, and just see whether anybody noticed.
That's funny.
Nobody noticed until the cords had lost an entire foot, and then they started saying, hey,
what's going on?
What's going on here? My cord? And so then they knew that actually they could shorten the cords by 1 foot, And it wouldn't make a difference. So after that, all telephone cords were shorter based on that research. You know,
How much can you really deal with? How much do you need?
I don't know whether I want to be one of the colleagues in that group because
could be a lot of stuff that happens.
I'm thinking he would call them guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't you think so? Now, Carlin also introduced the white dot inside of the finger hole of rotary phones. You see, when they redesigned, when they had the initial rotary phone, the letters were inside of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody said, well, you know, there's not enough room, because then they wanted to have the letters and the numbers and everything else. So they moved all of the letters and numbers outside of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
They thought this is really going to be great. And then they discovered that people were dialing slower. They said after they moved all the letters out, they said people were actually dialing slower. So Carlin, you know, immediately jumped into the research. And he found out that with nothing inside of the hole, the callers no longer had a target to aim their fingers at. And so it took them longer to get it in the hole.
Really?
So the whole
dial. This is crazy.
So what he did based on that result, he put a little white dot in the middle of each of the holes, and the dialing speed improved again. Isn't that interesting?
That's interesting.
Now, they used to have the letters and the numbers like it would be the first two letters of a word, like
Hamden 5. Something.
Like Hamden 5 or like Summerfield butter or something, mm-hmm. like that. It would be S-O-B-U. So they'd have like two letters associated with each word, and they could sort of make the number sound almost theatrical or poetic, mm-hmm. with these words
and
numbers.
Well, there used to be, if you remember, I'm sure you do, the commercials back in the day would make songs out of people's phone numbers.
That's right. Well, it turned out the engineer said, you know, having the constraint of only having numbers that where you've got a consonant and a vowel, or if you got a Q, you have to have a U, limited actually the number of phone numbers. So they said, we want to get rid of these stinking letters and all this poetry, and we just want to have phone numbers. But then people said, but the problem is, you know, the average Joe Blow can't really remember the phone number.
No.
So Carlin did research to figure out how many numbers people could remember easily, and they could remember seven numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So he said they don't have a problem remembering seven numbers, but they probably can't remember 10 numbers. So,
well, what do we have to do now? Remember 10 numbers.
Right? I know, but that's the area code. Right. So that's being difficult. I know you're being difficult. So the main number is like only seven.
Right.
Yeah, you're being difficult. And if you have the country code, it's 11.
That's right.
You know, so
yeah.
You know, so actually, if you, some country codes are 3 digits, so it could be as much as, let's see, 7, 10, 13. 13 plus the one would be 14. It could be as much as 14.
The one is a given, though. You're being difficult now.
I know. It's really true. So he did research on that, and shortly after that, the phone company switched to the 7-digit phone number. And so there were articles written about this switchover, and you know, John Carlin kind of was a guy that was like he didn't like a public position, but people knew his name, that he was behind the all digit phone number. And he went to a party one time, and there were these women talking in the corner, and they kept looking at him and giving him these dirty looks. Finally, some woman came over. She says, "Are you John Carlin?" He said, "Yes, I am." He says, "Are you the man that gave us all digital phone numbers?" He said, "Yes, I am." He says, "Do you realize, sir, that you're the most hated man in the country?"
Whoa.
There was a lot of hatred.
It's amazing when you think about it.
I mean, that switchover was quite emotional for some people.
Sure.
So then he decided, look, I think I better go back to my research cave and stay out of the public's eye. Now, in 1946, a Bell Labs engineer, Rudolph Molina, patented an early push-button phone. He had buttons arranged in two horizontal rows. You know, the top row was 1 through 5, and the second row was 6 through 10, just two horizontal rows. And so by late 1950s, it was clear that Bell Labs was moving away from the rotary dial and moving into the touch tone phone. So they came to John.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "John, what is this? How should we have the dial laid out so it would work?" So in the late 1950s, Carlin's group began working on the optimal design for the touch tone phone. And so they had all kinds of different layouts, including the two horizontal ones. And the one actually that won, they had the square key that was a half inch on a side. And so it turned out people liked that square key. And then they had a keypad that was rectangular. It had 10 keys. It was a comprising 10 keys in that initially. It was a 3x3 grid plus a zero centered right below it.
Mm-hmm.
And they ultimately put on either side of the zero, they ultimately put the star or the pound when they modified it later on. But the initial one was a 3x3 grid with just the zero down below. And so they did a lot of research, and they found that people could dial that quite well. They ended up putting the 1, 2, 3 on the top row. Now, this was a big discussion because adding machines have the 1, 2, 3 on the bottom row. So they thought, do we want the numbers organized like on an adding machine?
Yeah.
And they found out that people could dial faster with it on the top row, and they had more accurate dialing because the numbers were that you read down on the numbers. So it was easier to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 instead of counting backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So they found out that having the 1, 2, 3 on the top worked out better. So the push button phone, as we know it, with the 10 buttons, they added, ultimately they have 12 buttons, but as we know it, with the 10 buttons, was then released November 18th, 1963. That was like
49
years ago.
Yeah, it'll be 50 years this year.
50 years in November. Carlin retired from Bell Labs in 1977. He died January 28th, 2013, at age 94. That's why we're featuring him today.
Last weekend.
Yeah, if he were alive today, I suspect he'd be working at Apple on their human factors department with Johnny Ives, because Apple has taken this industrial psychology and human factors engineering to a tremendous tone, where they've got huge teams just working on it. And so I think what Apple is doing now is an embodiment of what he started, almost 50 years ago.
It's fascinating. Did they call it human factors engineering back then? Or is that a term that's something that we call
it today? That was the second name of human factors engineering. That was the second. But they actually did call it that. After a few years, they changed it to that name. It started out like something else. I'll look up what the first name was.
It's amazing the things that we have today that we take for granted how revolutionary they were back then. And you said that he was the most hated man in America for coming up with this.
Coming up with seven numbers. And so, actually the dial layout, this whole thing of human factors engineering, was really quite a new field. And it was, something that was very, very much welcomed by all users of technology.
I find it interesting, as you were talking about this, I went to my iPhone and looked to see, because you dial numbers today, they still have the letters. Even on an iPhone, the letters exist on the phone pad there, on the keypad. I wonder why that is, because we don't use them anymore, really.
No, we don't. Well, people still like to make numbers that,
like an association.
Yeah, they still like to do that. Mm-hmm. So people will still say, call 1-800 garage door.
I keep thinking it's backwards now. It used to be the first two digits were,
yeah,
and now it's the people come up with names.
That's right. So it's all for them. It's just to keep the marketing people happy.
Exactly. Well, we're here to not do that.
That's right.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2. Hope you're paying attention, because your chance to win a fabulous prize comes up for your correct knowledge. So stay tuned to Tech Talk. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Well, Doc, we're having a little trouble loading the open to our show here, so it is time for the pop quiz. Let's just...
Because this is a classroom of the airwaves.
Classroom of the airwaves. If I can get this loaded here in the next couple seconds, the computer is just not responding.
Earlier in the show, we, of course, talked about John Elias Carlin. And I'm going to have a question about John Carlin. And if you get the correct answer to that question, you'll get two tickets to fine dining, to either the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room.
Oh, you know what? How about we do this now? We now have the open here. As soon as this loads up, let's do it the proper way. So here we
go. Let's see.
For Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Okay, as we were saying.
So much better. Now I'm in the mood for this quiz. You know, if you're not in the mood for it, why do it?
Exactly. So, and we have a certain protocol around here, don't we?
We certainly do. Early in the show, I talked about John Carlin. By the way, he started the Human Factors Engineering Department, but the initial name for it was the User Preference Department.
Ooh.
That's kind of boring.
User preferences by shortening people's phone cords, right?
That's right. So, John Carlin, while he was in school, had what hobby? What hobby did he have while he was in school? And if you get the correct answer to that question, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at Escoffier Dining Room and the Karim Dining Room.
So we're running short on time, as we always are. So if you need to get this answer to us, the best way is by using the touchtone keypad on your phone.
Using the touchtone keypad, so that's right.
The 10 digits, actually it's 11, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a 1 first. Yeah. If you're calling from west of Cape Town, South Africa, it's 877-936-9333. Calling from east of the University of Chicago, it's 877-936-9333. Or
if you're calling from Anchorage, Alaska, you can use Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And you can simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and that call will be forwarded directly to the studio.
Exactly. And, of course, if that doesn't work, then just the wild card line, which is 877-936-9333. Now, Doctor, go right ahead with something else here while
A meteor struck Russia this week. Actually, it was on Friday. Oh, here we've got a...
Well, what do you want to do here, Doc? Should we...
Should we just...
I think we should... Come on in. Step to the mic and please sign
indeed.
In.
Yes, indeed.
I think we've got you here. Take your time, David. It's a 1-hour program. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, David Byrd.
Yeah, we don't have any intros today.
That's somewhere else.
You know, all week I've been working on my iPhone 4S battery life.
It's been a
huge problem for me.
I hear the 5's no better. I hear the 5's worse than the 4S as far as battery life.
But after they did that upgrade to the 6.1 and then the 6.1.1.
Hey, Doc, where's brunch today? You don't look this nice normally on a show.
No, I know.
What do you got going on after the show?
He's been dressing up a lot lately.
Dave.
Valentine's Day was a payoff. Okay.
Dave, listen, I partied all night. I never took off. This is what I wore to work yesterday.
Yeah.
I partied all night. That's why I kind of look a little tired here.
Just a quick comment, gentlemen. I have to go back upstairs.
Okay.
Are you impressed at all with the new Windows Touch deal going on?
I'm not impressed with that.
It's called, you know what it sounds to me? Ran out of ideas, so let's play with the screen.
Let's throw something up against the wall.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't like it.
It is not really taken off.
No, it's not the worst. No. I don't like it. I like the old version. I mean, give me new technology, not
something
to play with.
People don't like the 8 and they want to go back. See, the 7 was actually a pretty good version.
7 was incredible.
7 was good. I've got 7 on my laptop. I don't want 8.
I don't want 8. No, I bought a new computer, so it came with 8.
Oh.
So I'm going, oh boy, this is great. Oh, this is wonderful.
Is it a touchscreen computer?
No, it's...
Well, that's useless, right?
That's even screwed up.
That's like getting an iPad and you can't touch the screen.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what's going on.
Torture.
Is that torture?
It's torture.
Anyway.
Listen, why don't you get a touchscreen? Once you get a different... You could get a different monitor. You got a laptop?
No. It's a desktop. But mm-hmm.
Why don't you get a new screen that you can touch?
I use my smartphone for everything now.
Yeah, I know. There's something wrong about touching the screen.
They don't work in here half the time.
Gentlemen, I hate to tell you this, but you know, I bought a mini iPad a few months ago. Did I tell you that story?
Yeah, no, you did.
I've given it away already. I gave it away.
You gave it away?
It's just, after a while, I give it to my sister who looked like she wanted it worse than I did. So I've given away 2 full-size iPads and a mini. I mean,
So you do everything on your phone?
I have a desktop at home, and if I need to see something or read something, I can just deal with it on the phone.
I use my phone.
Yeah.
I use my phone for almost everything.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not doing any long Shakespearean responses on my smartphone.
Didn't you buy the mini iPad to read books and stuff like that?
Well, yeah.
But you read books on your phone?
Yeah.
My eyes would fall out.
Well, I don't read books.
Head.
I read the newspaper and everything.
Oh, okay. You know, okay. I hooked a Bluetooth keyboard to my iPhone.
You would, wouldn't you?
Can you imagine having a full-blown keyboard and I prop up my iPhone there and I, you know.
No, the iPhone's just, is that a 5 or a 4?
This is a 4.
Yeah, we're sticking with 4. I'm not doing 5.
That's a very good point.
I don't need a 5.
Did Apple hit the shark with the iPhone 4?
I think we've hit the shark.
Was that as far as they needed to go?
See, the thing is they have a longer screen on the 5, which has the format for watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't watch movies on my iPhone.
I wouldn't do that either.
I'm not watching a movie on my phone.
And the other thing the iPhone 5 had is it's got the 4G, the LTE connections. You got the high speed internet. But I don't watch streaming video.
I don't either.
I'm just kind of like an email guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need the high speed internet, and I don't need the video deal. So I don't really need the 5.
You know where it hit the wall? You know where the 5 hit the wall?
Where's that?
When I got to go buy new cords for everything.
I hate that.
We're done. No.
I bought a new girlfriend a new Nano, and it's got all new plugs on it, right?
No.
Yeah, no. The charger's got a different plug on the bottom.
No, no, and I'm not buying five new cords for the car, one for this, one for the reach. The 4S is fine.
So, you know, I was going to get one of these audio docks for my iPhone, mm-hmm. and then I don't know what plug to get, because I'm thinking, because I said if I go there and get something for the 4, then I get a 5, it's not going to work. So okay. then, so, hey, Doc, I didn't get an audio dock.
He just brought up something that I really want to know an answer to. You know, speaking of playing music off mm-hmm. your iPhone, have you seen the Bose iPhone players?
Yeah.
You have one?
No, I looked at them.
Did Marianne win one yet?
No, she hasn't won one yet.
Did she win two?
I looked at the Bose, but the problem is you've got the plug. So I'm not, so the thing is...
What do you mean you got the plug? What does that mean?
If you got the plug for the 4
right.
or the plug for the 5.
Right.
So you buy that
adapter.
You buy that unit, and then... You get a new iPhone, and then it won't plug in.
Well, we're not getting a new iPhone, Doc. Don't you remember 5 minutes ago? We're sticking with the 4S.
Yeah, but eventually, Dave.
Yeah, they're going
to
break.
How many Boses do you need to buy? I'm only buying one.
So I told the guy at Bose, I want a wireless connection. It doesn't matter about the stinking connection.
Do they have that option?
No, they didn't have the
option.
Well,
that's great.
So that was actually my excuse for not buying it for Marianne. She wanted it. I said, well, Marianne, we can't.
So, do you think iPhone 4 versus iPhone 5 is a generational thing? Do you think younger? Because clearly,
no. No, I've been on board with iPhone every version. I stopped mm-hmm. it. I said, no.
What I'm saying is, do you think younger people go for the 5? Because your son watches movies on his phone, doesn't he?
He watches movies, but he's
if you're going to be that dedicated to watch movies, get an iPad. Okay, watch your movies. But not on a phone. Come on, why don't we just get the, get lipstick and just put an L on your forehead while you're sitting in a terminal at the airport. Yeah, I'm watching movies on my smartphone. Yeah. Yeah, I got it going on. you want a chair? Here, who are you?
Now, see, we did get a little Bluetooth adapter for our stereo system.
Right.
We just plug it in there, and so I can then play music through my full stereo system from my iPhone.
Well, he's got a whole different setup going on. He's got the LED light.
Plus, I've got LED lights that I can control with my iPhone.
You got them going now, man. Okay.
I can sit back and control my TV set with my iPhone. Yeah. Everything I want is
everything.
You're my nightmare come true. You're the algebra nerd who really pulled it off, and now you have all the toys. I know, and you're proud of it. And it's okay. You should have all the toys.
Yeah. I can control everything with my iPhone except... Oh, Marianne.
Okay. Is it time to go to commercial?
Well, regroup on that? It will be time to go to a permanent commercial.
Before I leave, Doc, just the last thing here. We talked about checking website. You know, like I want to put a webcam in my kennel.
Yeah.
And
I did some research on this for you.
Can I check it on my smartphone? I mean, just looking at it?
You can.
Do you have research that's printable?
Here's the deal. I've got some questions for you.
Okay, here
I had some questions. Do you want to store it so you can go back and look at history? Or do you just want real-time streaming?
I want real-time
streaming. Real-time streaming?
Yes.
Do you want real-time HD video? Or would you be happy with just, like a slower frame rate.
That's fine. Slower frame rate's fine.
Slower frame rate.
I don't need
rate.
HD on a smartphone looking at dogs. Come on.
HD smartphone.
Are there going to be power? Do you want to be able to actually, tilt and tilt or scan the direction of it to kind of look around?
Well, that would be nice if I could.
You can do it.
I can do that?
Yeah, if you do that. Of course, it's more money.
Excuse me, am I Sherman or Peabody in this exercise? I think I'm. Okay.
Now, are you going to want to look? Are you going to want to look at night? Do you need night vision or just day vision?
I will be there. No, the lights will be on in the kennel, so it's not even a night thing.
Okay, so mm-hmm. it's not a night thing.
Not in the yard, no.
Is there going to be more than one camera?
Yes.
Okay.
Does that get more complicated?
No, it just depends on the display, how you do that. Right. So you more than one camera, but if you could pan them around, you may be able to have less than one camera.
Oh, okay, but I got two rooms.
It's going to be two cameras, but then you could actually pan the thing around. Right. Now, what you could do that would be a very...
He's getting excited.
Here, this is the
of
thing.
Of course he is. This is tech stuff.
Here's the thing. What you could do that would make your customers happy...
Mm-hmm.
You could get it so they could actually log into this thing and scanner
I see
around.
All kinds of liability
issues
here.
I do not want
No.
No, I don't. No.
Okay, all right.
You're not beating that dog by hand. I thought we were doing the hand thing. No,
this
no.
This is the wrong.
Wrong.
No.
Okay, now that I've got all these questions.
Yes.
I'm gonna do the total research and give you a complete recommendation.
Will you have a printable version next week?
I'll have a printable version, yeah, next week.
Are you here
week.
Next week? Or
yeah.
Are you somewhere
no, next
in
week
Bali
I'm in Ireland. I'm in Ireland.
You're in Ireland.
Yeah.
Great.
We bought a hotel in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah.
He did.
Park Hotel.
I feel an arm coming out here.
On 100 acres. On 100 acres. It's going to be a study abroad site.
Man, you're doing all right. You know
so,
that?
So I'm going to Ireland to sort of, you know, get the construction work going over there.
Yeah, it's a grand moment, isn't it? It's a grand moment, isn't it, Jimmy?
And you know what? You know what, Danny Boy over there? He's been checking out the pubs too.
Oh, the pubs.
Yeah, the pubs.
Yeah.
He'll probably figure out to do a remote way to brew beer through his smartphone.
I can tell you the issue though is internet access because all I can get this is in Virginia, Ireland. All I can get is this DSL, which is very unreliable. Yeah. So we're going point to point wireless. So I can get 10 megabits per second to the hotel.
Wow.
So it's like a big research project. Braggart. So it's going to be.
He's going to put the kennel cams at the place in Ireland.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
can
in the hotel room.
See what people are doing. No.
Doc, you've got about 9 minutes left of your show.
Okay.
You've been so generous to give me this time.
Okay.
I'm going to leave now.
Okay.
David, thank you. It's
okay?
Always nice to see you, David.
No, it's always good to see you guys.
And that's what we want to hear.
Okay, bye.
Doc, let's move it along here. We do have somebody on the line here to talk about something. Doc, you'll need your headphones.
Oh.
Yes, we have. You have to grade papers
okay,
now.
Okay, I've got to grade papers.
You need to grade papers.
I got to stay. I got to stay attention and
yes,
pay attention here.
We're going to go to. We asked a question about an hour and a half
I've been up
ago,
all night. That's why I'm still in my
that's
suit.
That's probably part of the problem. We are talking to Lewis here from Rockville. Lewis, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, Lewis. How you doing? Doc, go ahead and ask the question.
Yeah, earlier in the show, we were talking about John Elias Carlin. What was his hobby while he was going through school?
Playing violin.
That is correct.
Lewis, thank you for calling. Thank you for the hanging on with us there through the tutorial. Hang on a second here. Professor Andrew Mitchell of the Prize Research and Research Distribution Department will take your information. You are listening to Tech Talk. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We're way behind, but we've got more coming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. An executive chef at a trendy restaurant, a hotel general manager at a prestigious resort. These are the high-profile positions in the culinary arts and hospitality management industry. Get working towards your bachelor's or master's degree at Stratford University's Tysons Corner or Woodbridge campus. In fact, many of today's Stratford culinary arts and hospitality grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You know, this was big news for space. First, a meteor struck Russia.
Yeah.
Now, this exploded over Russia just this last Friday. That would be the 15th of February. And calculations show that this meteor was about 15 meters across when it entered the atmosphere and weighed 7,000 tons.
Holy cow.
You'd hate to have that thing land on your house.
Uh-huh.
The meteor appeared at 9:25 a.m. on February 15th. The fireball blinded drivers because when it hit the atmosphere, it exploded. And the subsequent explosions blew out windows and damaged hundreds of buildings.
There were about 1,000 people hurt by this thing, weren't
there? Yeah,
that's
right. 1,000 people hurt. Nobody was hit by it, but it was mostly broken glass and, you know, and building materials that got splintered. Despite its massive size, the object went undetected until it hit the atmosphere. It was probably made of rock, but it may have contained nickel or iron.
Mm.
It's likely to have come from the asteroid belt in the region that contains hundreds of rocky bodies located between Mars and Jupiter. Now, there are many dash cam videos posted to YouTube of this thing, lots of them. The reason is, you know, a lot of drivers in Russia have dash cams.
Really? Why is that?
Because there's so much police corruption.
Really? No
and
kidding.
So the policemen pull them over and try to you know, demand some payment, or they're going to give them some ticket. So the dash cams were just put in there strictly to protect them from fraudulent police actions.
Amazing.
Kind of interesting.
That is.
Now, we also had more space news. An asteroid passed near the Earth. These are completely two different events. Now, this asteroid was 150 feet across. And it passed within 17,000 miles of Earth, and that's the closest known flyby of a rock this size. Now, our geosynchronous satellites are at 22,000 miles. So this came inside of this was inside of the orbit that our geosynchronous satellites. Travel at, which means it's pretty darn close.
Yeah.
Now, it's called Asteroid 212 DA14, and it was too small to see with the naked eye, even its closest approach around 2:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. It flew over the Indian Oceans near Sumatra. You could see it from Asia, Australia, Eastern Europe. Now, as asteroids go, this one is very small. The one that wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago was 6 miles across. Mm. Okay, this was only 150 feet across. But this rock could still do immense damage if it ever struck the Earth, because it weighed 143,000 tons, and it released the energy equivalent of 2.4 million tons of TNT, and it would wipe out 750 square miles. If it hit the Earth. So, I mean, it would be quite damaging. Most of the solar system's asteroids are located in the belt between Mars and Jupiter, as I said earlier. Now, NASA scientists estimate that an object of this size makes a close approach to Earth every 40 years. The likelihood of a strike is every 1,200 years. DA14 was discovered by Spanish astronomers only last February. It's kind of interesting. Let's talk about this 4S battery life issue. Mm-hmm. You know, they upgraded the operating system on the iPhone to 6.1, and that was designed to fix some problems with the 5 because it wasn't actually connecting with the 4G networks properly. So they put that in, and then it completely screwed up the 4S. So they came out with an update 6.1.1. in order to fix that battery life. And so part of the problem is the Exchange server doesn't work. So what you have to do is you've got to go in. If you have an Exchange server email account, you've got to delete it, and then you've got to reinstall it. That's the first thing you want to do. You want to delete it, reboot the machine, reboot your iPhone, and then reinstall it. The second thing you want to do is close all the applications. So, you know, the button at the bottom, if you double-click the button at the bottom, it's going to bring up a tray in the bottom which shows all of the opened applications. And so once that tray comes up, you can hold down one of those icons, and it'll be a little minus sign that shows up in the upper right left hand corner. So you click on that minus sign, and it's like you're deleting the application, but actually you're doing it in the tray. So you're not deleting the application; you're just turning it off. So you want to turn off all your applications, reboot the machine, and bring it back on again, and that will help your battery life significantly. Listen, we love all your emails. Email us, techtalk@stratford.edu. We want you to go to the Stratford University website. That would be stratford.edu. And, of course, you can always sign up for the podcast at techtalkonline.com. And when you go to Stratford University and check out the programs, let them know you heard about them on Tech Talk Radio.
Your classroom of the airwaves. And if you like this program, you can hear it again tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program. WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
And coming up here on the radio today, we have college basketball action for you. We've got Navy and Army starting at 2 o'clock with 1:45 for the pregame show. And then the GW Colonials travel to face the University of VCU in Richmond today. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. Forecast, it's going to be cloudy with a high near 41. Right now it is 39 in D.C. at 10 o'clock.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as